Good morning. It is good to see some faces that we haven't seen in a while. It's good to have you back, Duke and Michelle. And in just a moment, I'll give you a little bit of information about Miss Barbara. But for those of you who are visiting this morning, a warm welcome from us and our prayer always that you leave here feeling like you have been in the presence not only of God, but in the presence of friends in Christ. We are getting toward the end of our pre-run bulletins, and so the announcements obviously are not in here since these were done many weeks ago. And so the one announcement that I have it's just a reminder that the women will meet on the second Tuesday, September 11th at 7 o'clock. So instead of the first Tuesday, you come the second Tuesday. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Okay. Now, our prayer request this morning. First of all, we are glad to see Bill back in worship with us, and he is mending and healing and walking with less pain now than he has been, and we're grateful for that. Laura has been in the hospital for a few days, had hoped to go home on Saturday, but instead the family has opted to let her go into rehab for this coming week. And she is at a rehab center called The Tray. I had not ever heard of that before. It is on Hopkins Avenue, if anyone is interested. I have the full address and the telephone number if you want to call me, and I can give that to you. But she should be there for about a week. And then Barbara Wyatt is now at Pleasant Valley Rehab Center in Garland. And Michelle says that she would love to have visitors if anyone is interested in doing that. Pleasant Valley Rehab Center. Michelle's words of wisdom to us are, when you go, make sure her wheelchair is locked down. Otherwise, she will run from you. So we can do that, Michelle. Are there other prayer requests this morning? If not, I want to begin worship in just a little bit of a different way this morning. I want to tell you a short story. There was a pastor who saw this man for the first time in church on a Wednesday. He was in his mid-70s, had silver hair, was dressed in a brown suit. He was well-respected in his community and by his family. He had been invited several times by several people throughout many years to come and to worship and fellowship and to serve and to be educated with them. But he had never taken them up on that invitation. So many months before this first Wednesday that he came back into church, the pastor was sitting with him out on the steps, and she did that quite often. He would come to the church, much kind of like ours, and just sit on the steps, and they would visit together. And she asked him one day, she said, "Do you really understand how much God loves you? Do you understand the compassion of Jesus Christ? Have you heard that the Spirit surrounds you at all times?" And she said, "You know, we would love it if you would come and worship with us." And so, finally, his whole story spilled out. He had come from a large family. They were impoverished, several kids. His family, his mom and dad, good people. But they struggled to make just the very basics of the family come together. Life had not been easy for them, but it had been good. And he told the pastor, he said, "You know, one Sunday, when I was 10 years old, I went to Sunday school." And he said, "I had never heard the most beautiful songs that we sang. And he said, the story. He said, I was just mesmerized to think that Jesus could take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 people. And he said, you know, my parents have trouble feeding the 7 of us children. He said, I couldn't wait to come back the next Sunday to hear what the other story was going to be. 10 years old, he was brave enough to walk the hall and come into big church, as he called it, by himself. And as he was walking down the hall, a lady stopped him. She greeted him and she said, we are so glad that you are coming to church today. And then she leaned in close to his ear and she said, but son, please don't come dressed that way next Sunday. And he said, no, ma'am, never will I. And he never did. On that Wednesday, as he lay to rest in his final resting place in the church, his friend came to the pastor and he said, you know, my friend always wanted this to be his home on earth. As we listen to God's word about compassion today from James and from Mark, my prayer is that none of our words and none of our doings will ever cause anyone to say, no ma'am or no sir, never will I ever. As we listen to our opening music this morning, just imagine the joy that you are going to hear, and imagine how many people would be well served to hear the joy that we're going to hear this morning. Let us worship God.
Please join me in the opening sentences. Please be seated. Join me in the prayer and response. How often we give lip service to God, holding back our hearts, our souls, and our lives. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading for today comes from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. If you would like to follow along in your pew Bible, it is found on page 229. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues and deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the epistle reading for today.
Thank you.
all of God's people said, amen. The New Testament reading this morning comes from the 7th chapter of Mark. It begins with the first verse and then sort of skips around a little bit. If you are following on your pew Bible on page 42, just kind of follow along as I read. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, meaning Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and for all of the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and you hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and he said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that the evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slaughter, slander, pride, and folly. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Thanks be to God that even though the grass withers, the flowers fade, this, the word of our Lord, endures throughout all generations. Amen.
Thank you.
It was hard to choose a title this morning. The thing that keeps coming to my mind is simply three words. Just do it. Just do it. Let's see what yours are. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, show compassion, and let anger straggle along in the rear. That's James' translation, or that is the Message's translation of this verse from James. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, show compassion, and let anger straggle along in the rear. Writing to the first century Christians who were trying to live into this newfound life as with Jesus as Messiah, the writer of James encourages those who were part of the church at that time to let go of their old customs and their ways that were counterproductive to living this new life that Christ had shown them how to live. Their friends, Jewish friends, were still going to the synagogues. They weren't yet quite sure about the Gentile converts yet. So what were these new Christians, these followers, to do? God's bottom line, live as Christ lived, and the Spirit will gift you and us with Christ like compassion. Live Christ-like, and the Spirit will gift us with Christ-like compassion. And in that compassion, they, the writer says, and you and I know, we will learn how to live together, Gentiles, Jews, Christians, all peoples together. Compassion with our foundation. James was watching the church profess compassion and yet not practicing it, and it was tearing the Christian community apart. You and I know how frustrating it is for someone or for an institution to say, yes, we do X, Y, and Z on paper. It looks good when it's on paper, but it's not worth the paper that it's on if it's not carried out. With that desire of compassion already in us that James says is there, that compassion that has been put there by God, the church hears that self-serving anger has no place among them. The problem is too often we are quicker to speak, we are slower to listen. And when that happens, anger is ripe for a flare-up and sometimes for an explosion. Listening with respect before speaking helps us find that common ground. It helps us resolve disputes. It dissipates that anger among us, and it always makes compassion a winner. You can ask the elders who started this past year with us. We started our meeting, the first meeting, with a talking stick. We are trying to learn to listen to one another. Whoever had the stick got to talk. Now, excessive talking, we pulled the hook out, but they got to talk. But we are trying to be more open-minded, open-hearted, and trying to keep our words still as we listen. It's no secret that learning how to listen and learning how to be doers of God's word in addition to being hearers is this thing that is a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey that's wrapped up in God's grace. And it's no secret that along that journey, Christianity and discipleship have always sat in the middle of conflict. So speaking to followers and to the church who suffer this sort of struggle within sometimes. It would be really easy for all of us to say, you know, all of this arguing, forget it. It's just not worth it. But James asked the question, I think, that we need to keep asking ourselves constantly, and that is, are we going to let theological points, are we going to let religious, human-made traditions win out over Christ-like compassion to all persons and all peoples? Could it be that by practicing compassion, there might be less theological and tradition-based conflicts and more understanding of who has lordship over our lives and our hearts? It was that logic that Jesus put before the Pharisees. Who lives and reigns in your hearts and your lives, he asked, God or your worship traditions and your religious rituals? Mark tells us that tradition at that time was winning over compassion, and religious rituals were just flat out ignoring the need of those around these good, God-fearing, faithful men, but they weren't living out compassion. And the hullabaloo that was raised over the disciples not washing their hands before eating, we know had less to do with getting rid of germs than it had to do with their ritual elitism. You did this because you were in the in crowd. I have no problem washing my hands before I eat. You and I have no problem doing that. But we do it not because we think we are elite. Jesus said, this is lip service, because clean hands don't always translate into a clean heart. You can wash your hands all day long, Jesus said, but if you don't have mercy and love and compassion, your hands might be clean, but your heart, it's still dirty. He goes on to say, if you don't, or if you would, just stop and listen. Listen to what I am saying. Then you would also see that what I say, I am doing. There is absolutely nothing that goes into us that makes us unclean. It is what comes out of us, because what comes out of us is a reflection of what is on our hearts. There's nothing wrong with tradition or traditions, but you've heard me say this before. When they become sacred cows that keep a world in need of hearing the good news outside of the in crowd, then we are living absolutely no different than the Pharisees did. The message of James encourages us to listen to the voice of the Lord, to look at how the Lord lives out those words, and then to put his words into practice in our saying and in our doing. I know it's easier said than done, because listening is hard. And for whatever reason, over the span of my lifetime, listening has gotten harder. I just wish sometimes we could get back to old-fashioned common courtesy. But Jesus experienced the same thing in his time. The world was pushing its values upon the Christians from without, and as that was happening, it was causing internal strife within the church, and it was damaging. Bickering in the church is deadly. Bickering in the church is deadly. That does not mean that we can't have disagreements. It doesn't mean that we can't talk about our disagreements. It doesn't mean that we can't pray and listen and work through those differences. But bickering, James says, is deadly. Will Willimon, who is the Methodist bishop that most of us know as we study Scripture, says that there is a hole from within that weakens any structure, or if there is a hole within, it weakens any structure. And churches suffer when we lose the desire and the determination to listen. When all we do is talk, we are less likely to hear God talking, and it breaks down relationship. Listening and doing from the heart takes time, he says, but it is upon the heart that those lessons of God are written. And I think James adds, more mouth than ear can harm the Christian witness. So I want you to imagine with me how different the world could be if more people had the compassion of Christ in their hearts, and if that compassion came by way of the Spirit working through us, so that what our lips said matched what our hearts and our lives reflected. Imagine with me a world where we lead with our ears, we follow up with our tongues, we pass on compassion that is already in our hearts, and we let anger straggle along in the rear. As we prepare to share this family meal this morning, I am praying that for each and every one of you, it has not become just another ritual, just another routine that we do. I am praying that when you come to this table, you are in communion with God and in communion with those who are eating with you. I pray that our hearts will listen for the new ways that God is calling us to be brothers and sisters in Christ and God's children. And I want to add something that I've said many times. When you come forward this morning for communion, take your time. Don't rush. Take time. Even getting from the pew up to the servers. Take your time eating and drinking. Return to your pew and be intentional about listening for the Lord as you are remembering Him, trusting that at this table today He is remembering you. And may we go from this place listening for the Lord's compassionate words this week, and may we try to live out, do those words that we hear, so that no one has to say in any community of faith, no sir, no ma'am, not ever will I.
Please join me in the affirmation of our faith.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We know that all generous acts don't begin with us. They begin with God's generosity to us. So what we give this day, by way of all of the gifts that we have, may they go so that God's generosity can be multiplied to all who are in need. May we receive God's tithes and our offerings.
Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving.
All thanks to our worship to you, Lord, and for these riches we freely give, that your church might grow in this place and throughout our world. Amen.
Come, all who are loved by God, come just as you are. Come and let your thirst be quenched. Come and let your hunger be fed. Let the Spirit fill you again with the goodness of God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. You shattered the silence of chaos, majestic God, as you spoke creation's language with your voice of power and of patience. Your word sang in the morning, your spirit breathed life into those, and you shaped us in your image, filling our souls with joy and with grace. And when we wandered far from you, You remembered the soft touch of our hand in yours, and you sent the prophets to call us home. And when we got in over our heads in debt to sin and death, Jesus came. He came to redeem our lives. And so therefore we lift our voices with those who worship you in every place and time, singing your glory forever and ever.
You are holy, God of all life, and blessed is Jesus Christ, Word of creation. Filled with your glory, he emptied himself to become one of us. Knowing the heartache of loneliness, he became the friend of all. Walking the streets beside us, he became the guide we need. Recognizing the power of sin and death, he followed them to Calvary, leaving them behind in the empty grave. As he was raised to new life, so, here in this holy time of celebration, here at the sacred feast prepared for us, we would speak of that mystery we call faith.
Here in this place of gentleness, here at the table of goodness and grace, God, pour out your spirit upon the gifts of creation made holy for us and upon your children adopted into your heart through the life and the joy of your child, Jesus. In the broken bits of bread, may we be made whole once again so that we might bring healing to the deepest suffering of our time. In the taste of salvation's joy, may we be renewed in our calling to justice and righteousness so that we might go forth to be companions for all those who have lost their way. And when in the mystery of your heart it will come to pass that we are gathered with our sisters and our brothers of every time and every place around that feast prepared for us in eternity, we will join our hands and our hearts crying with one voice, holy, 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 to you forever, God in community and holy in one. And God, we come before you now as your children, yearning to be made whole. We pray for all who are in need of healing. We pray that you might hear the yearnings of our hearts and that you might answer in your time and in your way. And in the quiet of this time, God, we listen expectantly for your whispers of grace. Hear now our prayers. Now the prayers of our hearts, Lord, we lift up to you, offering that prayer, wonderful prayer of provision that our Lord has given us. Together we pray. May we join our hearts together in joyful prayer.
Lord, we thank you for this food. The only way we can share our full gratitude is to serve our lives to you. We thank you for ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to feel, and minds to understand. Now as we go out into your world, give us hands to work our good and be equal on your way.
Go out into the world just as you are, as you were created to be, the very good child of God, and compassion, just do it. Just do it. May the love of God enfold you. May the peace of Christ surround you. May the power and the presence of the Spirit be in and among us all. Amen.